Here's the worst thing that can happen as a result of this. Any of you know somebody who should be here right now but isn't? Any of you know someone? Okay, so let's say you leave here and you're like, oh, that was awesome, that was so good, that was whatever, right? You're talking to them and they're like, what are you talking about? I'm not sure, but it was really good. Guys, yeah, they might as well hire a dancing monkey. Okay, they're cheaper, they're probably more entertaining, you know. My goal today is you actually get something, right? There's never six things you're going to do. There might be six things you need to do, but it's the one thing. It's the two things. Doing the right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. You guys catch that? Doing the right thing at the... There's a lot of right things you're going to hear today. But doing the right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. I knew when I was 10 years old I wanted to be a good dad. If I had kids when I was 10, probably not a good thing. Probably not going to be a good dad. See what I'm saying? There's a season, there's a process in everything. You know, our internet leads good? Yeah. But not if you don't have a CRM and follows up. There's all these things that have to be in place first. You know, someone asked me, I did a thing yesterday on Instagram. I did a Ask Me Anything question thing. How many of you follow on Instagram or Facebook? Or, okay, the rest of you are dead to me. I just want to make sure. So I did this thing, I was going to be flying over, so I just said, hey, ask me anything, whatever. I started answering questions and posting them there. Someone said, like, what's the number one mistake agents make in this business? And they said new agents. And I said, well, it's really new agents or experienced agents. The number one thing is that people in our industry don't understand that our industry is boats over fishing. That's what it is. You know, we all want to go fish. We all want to go lead create. We all want to go, and that's what we do from the moment we start. And it's a desperation. And that's why we hate our careers 25 years from now. Most of the people that you see at events, I'm not saying these guys, but most of the people you see at events who are up on agent panels, they hate their jobs. They did 50-something transactions, but my God, there's no system, there's no process, it's like, my God, I'm just crazy. Because they didn't understand that it's boats over fishing. Okay, infrastructure comes before lead creation. See what I'm saying? If you want to catch a lot of fish, you better have a bigger boat. You know, if you're going to throw a line in the water, you want to throw a lot of lines in the water, you got to have a bigger boat. You don't go shark fishing with a canoe. See what I'm saying? And so whether you're new in here, whether you're experienced in here, that has to be your goal. Like, that's infrastructure, infrastructure. You never eliminate that potential gap doing things on your own. It's not possible. Well, my people want me. Oh, God. Stop it. You're just so amazing. You want your people to want you, and they have learned to need you because you have taught them to do that. But the truth of the matter is people are going through their third most stressful time in their life, death, divorce, and moving. They're buying the largest asset they'll ever own. They just want to be taken care of, and you've taught them that it's you. And so you continue to do menial tasks, put the kids to sleep, do paperwork. It's just, guys, what are we doing? You run a business or you run around. Those are the only two options. You run a business or you run around. And I know you all went to real estate school, so you fully know how to run a business. Sarcasm. I mean, you were taught how to be an appraiser, you were taught how to be an attorney, and then you were told, don't discuss anything legal, you'll get sued. You know, I learned there's 43,560 square feet in an acre. Don't know why I know that. Don't know when it's ever going to do anything, but certainly didn't learn how to run a business. And that's the difference. Guys, I'm just like you, just so you know. Like, I know your personalities. You guys know you're a little off, right? Like, you're in real estate. You're a little off. You guys, I'm not breaking news, right?
Right.
You do realize, like, you know, your parents were proud, but instead of getting a, you know, guaranteed salary, health benefits, increases ever, you went, I'm going to go make it on my own. Commission only. I'm sure they were like, oh, that sounds like a great idea. That's awesome. Every parent's wish. So to make it in this business, you got to be a little off, okay? Most of you are control freaks. Some of you will disagree with me just because you don't like that I said it. You're a control freak. Like, I'll be the one who determines if I'm a control freak. You're a control freak. Like, that's definition, okay? Like, guys, that's what it is. Like, that's who we are. And I'm saying it's who we are. I get it, okay? I'm the same way. But that very thing, that drive, that control, that thing that will get you to a certain level within your business is the very thing that will keep you from going to the next place. It really is. And one of the saddest things, you know, someone asked me once, they said, I was doing a Q&A after, and someone asked me, you know, what's your number one fear in life? And I said, I'm not really a fearful person. Let me think about that. And I thought about it, and I said, my greatest fear is this. My greatest fear is leaving this earth to a standing ovation from all of you, and then getting before God and having him say, what the hell? Because my potential is different than yours. Yours is different. Like, we live in a world now where, again, it's 2022, we're all equal, we're all whatever, and again, that's utter bullcrap. It's just not true. Like, some people have more skill set in business. When Usain Bolt stepped it on track, he was naturally faster than me. That's just how it works, okay? And the same thing goes in business. And so what a lot of us do is we compare against this person, well, I'm doing better than them, and this one, well, I'm doing less than them, and this one and that one, and the truth is, they're all dealing with a completely different skill set. They're dealing with a different level of potential. You know, some of you in here, you know, you made 500 grand last year and you suck. Like, you should have made a million. But you looked at someone making 200 and thought you were killing it. And then some of you in here made 75 grand last year and you're killing it. Because not only do we all have different skill sets, do we have different potential levels, we also are all in different seasons of our life. You know, if you're a stay-at-home mom with three kids and you're comparing yourself against, you know, Joe whatever, who's 2 years out of college and does nothing but work all day, every day, different seasons. Doesn't work. We have to understand what season we're in. Otherwise, we always are going to let ourselves down. You know, some of you, the next time December or January rolls around, your broker says, what's your goal next year? You should say, I'm going to be number 7 in the office. Not 6, not 8, number 7. Lock it up. Some of you need to say that because that's the season you're in. That's how much you can give to this. But what do we say? I want to be number 1. And then what happens? You either disappoint yourself because you're not number 1, or you are number 1 and everyone around you hates you. Because you're constantly on your phone and you're constantly just pushing. You see what I'm saying? We have to understand what different seasons of our life, different stages that we're in, you know, we have to be realistic about what that means for us. Does that make sense, guys? Yes. Does that really make sense?
Yes.
Good, because I wasn't planning on talking about that, but I just feel like we need to kind of set the tone that all of that stuff matters. What's that?
Now that you brought it up, can you talk about that a little more? I have 9 kids, so it's really hard for me.
All I heard was you already have a team. So in all seriousness, I'll do this quick because I do have to move on, but 9 kids. That's a lot of kids, right? I mean, that's obviously a good number of kids, right? If I'm in a situation like you, I'm not even kidding myself. If I'm in a situation like you, the way I'm running my business is completely different. I'm delegating at every level. For example, number 1 hire, every single person in here, day 1 in real estate. Do you know what it is?
TC.
Who said it? TC, transaction coordinators, no risk. Think about that. What makes you great at being an agent is what makes you suck at being a TC. They're different personality profiles, okay? Now, why is it TC? It used to be admin. I used to call it admin, right? But now we say TC. Why? Because there's no risk. Like, I literally own a transaction coordination company. That's how much I believe in it. There's no risk. You hire a TC. You look at all the things that they do that you don't do, and you're like, holy crap. You become the McDonald's fries, where every person gets the exact same experience. You only pay if you close. If you don't close, what happens? You don't pay. You pick up 8 to 12 hours on every single transaction. More importantly, though, you start to set a precedent with yourself of delegation, and that it works, and your clients get used to it too, and it makes you look good because it looks like you've got this organization. Guys, no other business do you go into and not operate that way. Would you go to the car dealership and then the person selling the car also does financing, is also washing your car, is also trying to, like, would you go into a doctor and the doctor is checking you in, the doctor's checking your weight and height, the doctor's calling a day before to make sure you're coming, the doctor walks you to the waiting room, the doctor brings you to the second waiting room, which is really what it is, there's just no magazines, the doctor comes in and diagnoses you, and then the doctor says, let's do surgery? Would you ever let that doctor take a knife to you? You'd be like, doc, you can't hire someone for $12 an hour? And then we get into this business and it's like, I gotta do everything. I gotta do delegation. We get admins.
Thank you.
How many of you have an admin? How many of you ever hire a bad one? Okay, so what do? We hire based on availability. We're looking, you know, we got to expand. They say that I need help. They say I need an admin. I need an assistant. So what do? We go find some struggling agent in the office. We're like, hey, you suck at your job. Why don't you come over here and suck at this job? Oh, we're hiring admins and we're scared to death that if we get them licensed, they're gonna leave us. Okay, that goes to show we don't understand personality profiles. Guys, the profile of an admin, a good one, who's a high S, high C personality, who's a task-oriented, who gets annoyed by your lack of organization, is scared to death of a commission-only job. They're not going into real estate. It's the wrong person. You guys see how this goes? I'm not doing team building right now, okay? But my point is, if you get nothing else from me, I'm gonna say that a couple times, so ignore that statement. But a lot of you do need to leave here and say, what is my organizational structure? Because at minimum, everyone in here, even if you're day one, TC, done. There's no risk. There's no contract. There's no nothing. All there is you learning to save 8 to 12 hours per transaction. Wow. Thank you. McDonald's fries, guys. They shouldn't get a different experience when you're busy. They shouldn't get a different experience when you're slow. They shouldn't get a different... Okay, this idea that we're selling people on the idea that I'm gonna do everything. I'm an amazing marketer. I'm an amazing communicator. I'm an amazing negotiator. You're an amazing bullcrap. That's what you are. Because those are all different personalities. So unless you're schizophrenic, possible. Come on. Are you telling me it's not a different personality for a buyer's agent who gets in a car, drives strangers around for 6 hours a day, cracks jokes the whole time, hang out with them, than a listening agent who goes in and tries to close on the spot? Those aren't different personalities. Of course they are. We just didn't learn that way. Because we didn't learn to run a business. Okay? And I get it. I so get it. Why am I able to be here with you right now? We got people signing up right now for coaching. We got people signing up for TCs. We got people signing up for marketing. We got people, well, I'm booking a bit. I'm not there. See, at some point we have to get over that and realize that an actual life is worth more than holding on to what you're building around yourself, calling a life. See what I'm saying? Okay, it's a business. You run a business, now you're scalable, right? There's this old line, I used to talk about this a lot. I did a video a couple years ago, you know, the old adage, we all have the same 24 hours. You guys read that before? Elon Musk has the same 24 hours. That is such a crock of crap. We do not all have the same 24 hours. Not true. Yeah, you hear that, you read that, and you're like, I've got the same 24 hours as Elon Musk, and he's building multi-billion dollar companies, buying Twitter, you know, going to the moon, and I'm just here reading about him. Well, that makes you feel good, doesn't it? Guys, we have the number of hours according to the infrastructure that we implement. Every person I bring on with me, I get their 24 hours. Okay? I've got 60 plus employees, which means I have 1,500 hours every single day. Good luck keeping up. Elon Musk has 4,000 employees. He has almost 100,000 hours a day to your 24. See how that works? But then you get a TC and now you've got 48. Then you get an admin, now you got 72. Do you see how this starts to work? Okay, now are there hiccups? Do you have to train? Do you have to, yes? Yep, but guess what? There's more hiccups now, which is why you even thought of doing it. Is this making sense, guys?
Yes.
I gotta move forward, okay? So let's talk about where we are right now. Would you guys agree right now that we're in a time where there's more competition than ever? There's more disruption than ever. There's more third-party apps. There's more money flowing in. Is this true or not true?
Yeah.
It's absolutely true right now. People like me love to say that because it sounds like making a good point, but it's actually true right now. It's very true. So let's look at this, guys. Disruption is forcible separation or division into two parts. So we got to talk about what that means. What part are we? You look at this right here, guys. You just said to me a second ago that there's more competition than ever before. And yet competition always does one of two things. And guys, again, at the end, I'm going to give you a thing. You can get all these slides for free, everything, okay? So you don't have to take pictures of them. You don't have to, like, I'm going to give you everything for free. There's nothing you can do today that's going to change my mind, okay? I'm going to give them to you for free, I promise. So competition either eliminates you or it makes you better. Those are the two options. Eliminates you or makes you better. So if we all agreed in here that we have the highest level of competition in the history of our world, well, then that means we have the greatest opportunity in the history of our world to either be eliminated or... It's right there, guys. Literally, it's right there. I see some of you thinking about it. It's right there. Or be made better. Those are the two options. But if you're in here and all you're doing is complaining about your competition, I know where you're going to fall.
Well, Zillow's going end to end.
Look, if someone is a competitor to you, it means the market is responding to them, which means they have something the market wants. So rather than looking at them and go, they suck, they're this, you know, whatever, why wouldn't we look at it and go, what can I add to my tool belt? What's working from that that makes me more viable with consumers? Because consumers are using you at the highest rate they ever have. Do you know in the last 7 years, while technology has grown and this thing has grown and everything else, do you know the number of people who used an agent when buying or selling has gone up consecutively for 7 years? Did you know that? You never hear that. That's not clickbaity enough. And yet it's what's happening. But who they're using has changed. Because they're not just going to keep using you because you've been around a long time. Well, I've got experience. Well, it might be bad experience. You see what I'm saying? Like, sure, would they like someone who's been around? They would. But they're not going to do business the way that you like doing it because it's the way you've always done it. Hey, if you still have a fax number on your business card, don't worry, guys, I'm not going to check. But my God, it's 2022. Why don't you just send it over in a pigeon's mouth? It might get there quicker. We live in a new world, guys. No, but that's not the way. Consumer doesn't care. Consumer does not care about how you like doing business. The consumer only cares about you making it easier for who? For us. That's it. Make it easy for me. It's the third most stressful time of my life. If you think that I'm going to do something your way just because you've been doing it that way forever, and by the way, the newer ways are actually easier. We're just not familiar, but we just don't like change. I mean, nobody likes change, guys. Come on. Nobody does. Change is, it's annoying. But at the end of the day, do we want them to change and use someone else, or do we want them to continue to use us? Like, that's the question you've got to ask yourself. Because competition either eliminates you or makes you better. You know, look at, I've been using this example all over, but it's just true. Like, for years, I was using the example, and I was going, hey, what did Netflix do to Blockbuster? And everybody's like, oh, they eliminated them, and, you know, whatever. Blockbuster bet on the idea that people were going to keep renting videos. Netflix bet on the idea that, yes, they will at a record pace, but they're not going to drive to a store, get a DVD, return it 48 hours late, and pay a $9 late charge. They went, yeah, that's not happening anymore. So we always focus on that, and we go, what did they do to Blockbuster? But you know what nobody focuses on? How many of you in this room have a subscription to Disney Plus? Let me just see your hands raised. Guys, everybody look around this room real quick. Look around the room. Okay? Not one of your hands 18 months ago. The exact same competition that eliminated Blockbuster is the exact same competition that created the greatest revenue stream for this little startup called Disney than they've ever seen. Same competition. Different response. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
You guys really getting it?
Yes.
Okay? And so, yeah, are people going to keep using agents? Yes, they are. They're not going to return the movie 48 hours late and pay a $9 late charge. You've got to look at your competition and say, what are they doing that I need to change, that I need to switch, that I need to... What is it? Otherwise, it's going to cost us a lot of money. And look, if you're older and you've been in business a long time and you're retiring the next 3 years, sure. Listen to my jokes, and you can shut me out for everything else. You're good to go. Look, that's okay. That's actually okay. Right? Like, if you've got 2 years left in this business, and you're like, I don't want to drastically change. This is what I do. I make a comfortable living. You know, I've got my people who call me. I've got my whatever. Guys, I am 1,000% cool with that. I actually am. I'm not saying that. Like, I literally mean that. You probably don't have to worry about all the things. You don't need to understand how people are going to buy with crypto. You don't need to understand blockchain. You don't need to understand all that. You've built a business, you're comfortable, you're going to keep getting some people who keep coming in, right? And that's okay. But for those of you that are going to operate beyond that 2-3 year basis, you need to pay attention to what I'm telling you now, because this shift is happening. It's not, we used to talk about it coming. Like, it's not, like, it's here. It's absolutely here right now. And COVID basically just, like, put everything in light shift. Like, it just, because everyone got used to, when everybody was sitting at home, everyone got used to technology. Everyone got used to using their phones and apps and being virtual and video. Remember how you were all fighting me on video? For the last 5 years, you were like, I just don't like how I look and sound. And then you would show up at events like this looking and sounding like you would on video. Exactly the same. Right? And then what happened? COVID happened. And your consumers, stay-at-home moms, were doing daily Zoom happy hours, just beating the hell out of their livers and not caring one bit about video. They just get on there. You guys remember when COVID first hit and you all were jumping on Zoom videos and you were all dressed up and you had your heels on and you're ready to go? How about now? Some of you were like, does Karen know her video's on? Like, does she know that we can see her? Like, some of you have given up. You got too comfortable. Right? You're all like thinking, who is that person in our office? Because every office has one. If you can't think of who it is, it's probably you. You're like, no, there's no one like that in our office. We're a comfortable group. Definitely you. Definitely you. Okay? So let's look at this, guys, real quick here. Look at these stats here. Are these numbers going up or down? 65, 69, 71. I know you're not in real estate because you're, you know, mathematicians, but which way is it going? Ah, there you go. I knew I'd ask a question you all could participate in. So what do these numbers represent? These numbers represent the number of people who found their agent through a referral, past agent, or SOI, sphere of influence. It's gone up. Does that sound like the headlines you guys read?
No.
Doesn't sound like it at all, does it? Yeah, because that doesn't sell views. But we need to pay attention to what's actually happening so we know how to run our business, okay? You look at this one right here, right? 543, up or down?
Down.
That's the number of people who found their agent on a website. Now, does that sound like it's in line with how much you hear about online? And guys, for those of you that have any kind of context with me, you know that I'm all about the internet. I'm all about social. I'm all about visibility. I mean, visibility trumps ability. Like, you know that I'm about that, okay? I'm also about facts. And so I'm not saying websites don't matter, because they do. You know, there are some things that are tried and true, right? Like I always say, marry the principal, date the model, okay? Marry the principal, date the model. What does that mean? Principles are tried and true. And there's a principle of branding. Old branding principle said that you've got to touch people six different ways for them to remember you. Okay? Now, it used to be a billboard and a magazine and a TV ad and all these, but the principle of that touch six times still remains. So now, when that principle still remains, maybe it's not those things anymore, but maybe now it's on your website. Maybe now it's on social. Maybe now it's on a YouTube video. Maybe now it's on a... So while it's only 3% that are actually choosing from a website, don't underplay the idea that it was one of the six. Does that make sense? So we don't want to throw it out the window here, but we also need to start to understand that as this world becomes more complex in this market, and my God, for the 12 of you in here that follow me on Instagram, I'm going to do this for the rest of everybody, but I shot a video the other day and I said, for God's sakes, can we stop calling the market crazy? Like, would you guys knock it off? When you go and you tell a consumer the market's crazy, you know what I think? I don't need you. Because we've got no control over it. It's insanity. I'm just going to get the cheapest person. Guys, the market is complex. The market is competitive. The market's a lot of things right now. But it's not crazy. But the complexity of it, the competition, that's why people need a professional. Our messaging has got to change. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Oh, this crazy market. You are sending people out of your arms. It's just like when we sent out the, you know, just sold postcards. We were like, sold in 37 seconds with 95 offers for 1,000% over asking. You are creating the FSBO market. Like, what are we doing, guys? That's ego marketing. And what does every seller in that area look at? They go, why do I need you? You gotta give yourself some credit. Talk about like, hey, was able to procure this many offers. And now you start giving yourselves credit. Was able to negotiate. Was able to give yourself credit. But what we do is we send out this messaging and we create the FSBO market. We create an atmosphere where people go, it's so crazy out there right now. It's crazy. How many of you think there's low inventory right now? How many of you know you're getting set up because you're not a reason? Hey guys, inventory from your perspective is not low. There was 6.125 million sales last year, according to NAR. Highest number in 15 years. How do you have low inventory with a record number of sales? Huh? So listen, is it low for buyers based on demand?
Yes.
Absolutely, it is. But from the perspective of your opportunity to go get business, to go get sellers, to get there first, your opportunity is greater than ever. If you're following strategy, if you're not just sitting around and waiting. And we're going to talk about some of that stuff today. I want to save some time today to cover a few different ways to be getting listings. Should we do that? Like, yes. That'd be helpful?
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to save some time to do that. Okay? The inventory's there. It's just gone immediately. You know, remember, like, another thing that COVID did that nobody's paying attention to is, like, think of it like a, remember, like, those little, like racetracks for dogs? Like the dog racetracks, right? And they would have, like, five dogs lined up, and there'd be a gate right in front of them. They had one rabbit up here, right? When COVID hit, what happened was they kept adding dogs, which are buyers. They added no more rabbits. So you had the same number of inventory, but now you have 50 people going after it. See what I'm saying? Inventory is low when you don't have the listings. When you're a listing agent, you kind of like it. Okay? So from our perspective, there's not, according to sales, low inventory. From the buyer's perspective, because there's so many of them, there absolutely is. But which one helps you? When you constantly tell yourself there's nothing, or when you understand the opportunity is there if you're just following proper strategy? Like for many of us guys, we're losing before we ever start. We're losing right here. Telling everybody the market's crazy, telling me there's nothing available, we're losing here before we ever start. We're all operating in the same game right now. So for me personally, when I look at a market like we're in right now, to me it's like this is when winners win. I was talking at an event I was at recently, who's a fairly major speaker. And I'm insane right now, guys. I mean, like, insane. Like, I've said yes to more things than I ever have just because it's post-COVID and I'm trying to get in front of as many of you guys as I possibly can. You know, they don't want to hear when they call, I can't come, but we'll send one of our coaches. So I'm doing everything I can to do that, right? But I'm talking to this other, who's a major speaker, I'm not going to mention their name, but we're having coffee and he's like, where are you getting events, man? I can't seem to find anything. He's like, you know, this whole COVID thing, I can't seem to find anything. And I'm in my head going, are you out of your mind? Like what? Truth is, he's never updated his material. Truth is, he's still talking about pre-COVID stuff. Truth is, nobody wants to hire him because of that. We're operating in the same marketplace. And the same goes for you too. We're playing on the same chessboard. But at the end of the day, someone's gonna win. You all said in the beginning, you didn't get into this industry to be average. Okay, so instead of getting upset about that, getting frustrated. Frustration is a natural thing, guys. It really is. But at some point, you got to start celebrating that because that same frustration is what everybody around you feels. And when you feel like you want to stop or slow down, or you want to get down, or you want to whatever, something needs to click and go, this is when I win. Because everyone else feels like that too. And just when they're doing that is when you start pushing forward, is when you make those 10 more calls, is when you go and you call 20 more past clients. That's when you do it. Because everyone else is feeling it too. Does that make sense? So let's talk about this, guys. I'm going to go over a couple of strategies with you. I've talked about one or two of these really all over the world lately. I'm going to cover them, and I really want to go into some listing strategies. So I'm going to do this real quick with you guys. Number one thing I want you guys doing as a result of being here today, have a plan for post-transaction. What does that mean? I'm going to do this really quickly, and again, you're going to get these slides, okay? The end of 2019, beginning of 20, was the first time in history that venture capital was introduced into our industry. Anybody here, I saw a lot of non-REMAX agents. Anybody here from Compass? Any Compass agents here? Okay? No? Okay. So let's face it, they got billions of dollars to spend. And it's the first time we've ever seen this. We now see other companies calling themselves tech companies, not real estate companies. Have you guys seen that? Do you know why they do that, by the way? Do you guys really know why they do that? It's valuation. That's all it is. Because you get more of a multiple when you're a tech company compared to a real estate company. You don't even know that, but that's why. So first time ever, we have billions of dollars, not millions, billions with a B, are introduced into our industry. And what they were betting on is similar to what happened with the insurance industry, the same thing that happened with the travel agent industry. Would any of you go open a travel agency right now? Okay, same thing that happened with all these places. And they looked at our industry and went, this is the next industry to get disrupted. And they went, and when they look at disruption, do they look at you as a part of it, or are you not a part of it? And when you really think about it, so for example, look at this, mortgages. They put $1.5 billion with a B into disrupting the mortgage business. Now, anybody in here do mortgages? Okay, you're going to hang me for 30 seconds. It's coming around. Okay, I'm on your side. If you're on the outside and you don't know our industry, Why would they not think they can get rid of mortgage people? Are you telling me the world we live in today, you can't just go online, put all your info in, have 50 banks bid on you, take the lowest one, give them all the documentation, and at the closing within 2 months, it's gonna get sold to a major bank anyway? You tell me you can't do that? By the way, you absolutely can't. That's available right now. And so they looked at it and they went, well, we'll get rid of mortgage people. Seems, and if you're on the outside looking in, doesn't it kind of make sense? You're like, that would make sense. Let's do it. Let's take that over. And yet, they're having some issues with it. There's an old line, the difference between a contact and a contract is an R. It's a relationship. And so you have these people on the outside that don't fully understand our industry, because when you really understand our industry, is this not how it actually works? They're getting ready to go, your buyer. They don't know the difference between a pre-qualification and a pre-approval. You start explaining to them that in a competitive market like this, you have to be pre-approved, or otherwise you're eliminated right away, right? You gotta be pre-approved. Next thing you know, they're, and you're like, hey, it only takes 5 minutes. You don't even have to use that person, but we need to get a pre-approval. They're like, well, who do you use? And what do you do? You point them to somebody local. They go talk to that person. They're like, wow, this person's actually cool. I think I'll use them. Ease of use, way to go. And then they go make an offer, and who do they use? The local mortgage rep. Because the relationship was stronger than the disruption. Is that not how it works?
Yes.
Okay? And so they're putting all this money in here. $2 billion with a B into iBuyer. Think about that. Billions and billions of dollars. And here's why. How many of you know what this represents? 117,000. That is according to a recent study, and it would actually be more now, because this was a year ago, the average lifetime value of a real estate client. The number of times they buy and sell, the number of times they refer, they're worth $117,000. How many of you would treat your clients different if they walked around with a sign on their head that said, I'm worth $117,000? Anyone? Okay, but we don't think like that. We think about the one-time sale. Think about, oh, we're gonna get to closing. We think about our bills, we think about those things. You know, there's this thing called the traditional marketing funnel. You guys ever heard of it? And it's how all business works. You don't have to understand this, but basically there's a big funnel. And at the top of the funnel, a higher lead comes up. By the way, whenever I say this, I say lead. There's always people. I had a lady about 6 months ago. I said, the business is about what it's always been about, which is leads and leverage. You have to have influx of leads and overflow of leads and the leverage to handle them. And her whole demeanor changed. And she came up at the end and there were people in line to take a picture and say hello. And she was in the line too, but I could tell she wasn't socialized. She did not look like she was coming up to have a happy conversation. So she comes up and she gets to me and I'm like, hey, how you doing? And she doesn't say hello. She goes, I just need you to know, they're not leads, they're people. They're people, okay? Now guys, they're called leads because they can lead to a transaction. That's why they're called leads. I mean, and I just gotta tell you now that if that offends you, this is gonna be a tough life. I'm just gonna be very honest. It's gonna be a tough life for you. Just go get a bubble, climb inside, and just stay in that thing, because it's gonna be a tough go, okay? Now I couldn't say to her what I was actually thinking, but you know what I was thinking? Let me tell you what I was thinking. I thought the hell out of it. I mean, I thought it so hard. I was Jedi mining this. I was like, I thought to myself, you must be a pleasure to be married to. Oh, I thought it so hard, guys, like you have no idea. I wanted to telepathically just like, but I kept a smile on my face.
You were assuming she was married.
What's that? I mean, she'd have a ring on. Not an assumption. Just eyes. So I say this, right? And you look at this funnel, right? You got leads at the top, right? And the way the funnel traditionally works is the higher they come in at the top, the longer they take to get to the bottom where the chicken can shoot out that egg, right? And so up at the top would be things like Facebook and Instagram leads. Middle would be things like, you know, Google PPC, pay-per-click, those things. And why is that, guys, right? Facebook, Instagram, those leads, they're at the top. Why? Because they take a lot longer to convert. Why? Because they didn't go on Facebook to, you know, fill out a home valuation board. They went on there to stalk their ex-lover. Like, that's what they're there for, okay? Middle, a little bit closer, right? That's your Google pay-per-click, that's your Zillow, that's your realtor.com. People went specifically for real estate. That's why it's a further down the funnel. And then bottom of the funnel are going to be your things like sphere of influence, past clients, the easiest ones to convert, right? And so what we've got to understand here is that while this funnel is still in existence, this isn't how it works in real estate anymore, okay? There's a new funnel, and again, you guys are gonna get copies of this, okay? The funnel in real estate now, it's a bow tie funnel. It's two funnels. The funnel, the original funnel, slips on its side, okay? So you still got the higher end on the left side, whatever, but then it gets to the point where it's a closing. That's the bottom, where the, like I said, the chicken pops out the egg. It's a closing, right? That's the commitment. But what we don't understand is that there's a whole other funnel that opens up after the closing, okay? This is pre-close and post-close. So here's a simple question I want to ask you guys. The average lifetime value of a client is at minimum $117,000, but it's probably higher now. Where does the majority of that value lie? Is it on the right side post-close or is it on the left side pre-close? Post-close, right? You get the one sale on pre, but then all the value falls on the right side. Now here's the question I really want to ask you guys. When you look at your business, where's the majority of your time, your energy, your money, your all of that stuff spent? Is it spent pre or is it spent post?
Pre.
So we've got a disconnect right now between where we should be spending our time, energy, and money and where it's actually happening. Do you know why? Do you know why all of these disruptors, do you know why all of these third parties, do you know why they're able to exist? Because we're not doing our jobs. Well, they're gonna steal my client. Guys, no one can steal what you're taking care of. Okay? We're treating them at the closing like they're free agents again. Have a good, you guys ever close with someone, you're like best friends with them, at the closing they're ready to name their firstborn after you, and then 2 years later you run into them in the supermarket, and it's awkward, because you haven't talked to them. You guys ever had that experience? Okay, here's the fundamental shift that needs to occur in our business. You guys ready? We need to understand that the transaction does not stop at the closing. It starts at the closing. You get that? The transaction doesn't stop at the closing, guys, it starts at the closing, because where's all the value? Okay, so I'm going to show you one simple thing you can do, and then we'll go into some listing strategies. But again, if you don't listen to anything else I say today, if you change this one thing about your business, you will drastically change the future of your business. We spend so much time creating drip campaigns for leads, we don't have any for our past people. Think about that. If you're spending more time, more energy, more money trying to convert a cold lead, then you are spending that same amount, time, energy, money, managing the relationships of the people who already know you, like you, and trust you. Your system is broken right now. Because where's all the value? Is this making sense to you guys?
Yep.
Okay, so look at this. Here's one thing that we did with all of our students. It's drastic. It's such a stupid little thing. It works so well. Look at this. How many of you are part of a loyalty program on some level? You're part of Marriott, you're part of, I'm still here in a hotel. I thought I said the wrong hotel. You're part of whatever. Delta, Marriott, TGI Fridays. Any of you know what a loyalty program is? Because you're all looking at me like this was a new concept. Yeah. Are you guys a part of a loyalty program?
Yes.
Okay. So we love those, right? We get free stuff, we earn awards, we do whatever. I was in an airport, I was in New York, I think last year or the year before, and this is when this hit me. I walked up, I fly Delta everywhere I go because they treat me good. You know, I fly them a lot. So I go up to the gate to ask a question, and the lady says to me, they always ask your name before they answer the question. They want to see how good they should treat you. And so, kidding, I'm kidding. So she asks and whatever, and then she looks over and she goes, she answers the question, she goes, and Mr. James, as a result of your loyalty to Delta, I would like you to have this $15 gift card to the restaurant across the way, and we'd like you to have breakfast on us. Okay? Now, you know what I thought to myself at that moment? I thought, this is New York. I am not getting breakfast for $15. Like, that is never going to happen, right? Never. But here's what I also learned. I learned just what a cheapskate I am. Could I have afforded the $15?
Sure.
Guys, plus tip. Okay? Do you know how I walked away from that experience with my tail wagging? I mean, I felt like a million. I mean, $15. I have told this story all over the world. Like, I should have a sponsorship with this place. And all they did was give me 50. Oh, really, they cost me money. Because the omelet was like 38. You know? I wasn't even hungry, but I had to use it. Right? And here I am all over the world talking about this. But I left that situation feeling so amazing. And I literally, because I think about you guys all the time, and I was like, how do we create this emotion, this experience I feel right now? How do we create this with our clients? Because I'll never leave Delta again. You know, short of like there's not a flight available, I pay more to fly with them. Because I feel so connected. for $15. And so I walked away from that. I said, why don't we have this in our industry? And so we went back and we went to the board, the drawing board, and we're like, how do we create this? We started doing it with our students. And we created an actual loyalty program. And we found a company that makes, you know those like metal American Express cards that when someone pulls it out of the table, it's like dinner's on them, right? Like you hear it hit them. You guys know what I'm talking about? If not, you have no rich friends, okay? So one day you will see. Someone's gonna pull that sucker out and it's gonna make a noise, okay? So I found a place and I'm like, how do we create those metal loyalty cards? And you can customize them, and how do we, because then we present it to them at the closing. You are now a part of my loyalty program. It comes with certain benefits, okay? And yes, it comes with discounts to places locally, story for another day, but it comes with things like every single year, you're gonna get a gift card to the place of your choice locally. And now I have one more reason every single year to be reaching out to my past people and going, hey, it's that time of the year, where do you want your gift card to? Do you think they like that call? You think they start picking up when you're calling for that kind of stuff? Right. Just where you want it, right? It's going to come with things like babysitting. You'll pay, not you, don't worry. Some of you, I'm not doing that. Paying for babysitting one night a year. Someone asked me recently, they're like, what if they don't have kids? I'm like, oh my God, you are challenging the idea. No such thing as a dumb question. You guys ready for the official statement? No kids. No babysitting, all right? While we're at it, no canine, no dog walking, okay? Like, they don't have it, we're not giving it. But it's an option when they have it. Everybody good? You guys got the official statement? I'll send it out in an email afterwards, okay? You can show your broker, Jared said, no kids, no babysitting. Yearly portfolio review. Now notice what I'm not saying. I'm gonna give you an updated value of your CMA. Guys, what in the crap is a CMA? You're gonna bring in the Country Music Awards? What does that mean? What does it mean? They don't even know what that means. It sounds boring, it sounds expensive. But I'm gonna, do words matter?
Yes.
Because if you don't believe that, next time your spouse says, I love you, say, I like you too. See how that goes, okay? So notice I'm not saying CMA, I'm saying you can get an updated value of your portfolio. Now why am I using those words? Hey guys, does portfolio speak to one property or multiple properties?
Multiple,
right? According to CoreLogic, in the last 12 months, the average home in America increased by over $57,600. Think about that. Did you know that? Over 50% of homes in America have over $250,000 in equity. In the last 12 months, 37% of all homes in America are owned free and clear. Did you know that? 37%. Now guys, you need to know this. I should not be educating you right now. You need to be looking at me going, yup, that's right, that's right. Now that means you've got a lot of people sitting on a lot of equity. You know what they'd like to do? They'd like to build their portfolio, but they don't even know that they can. So what if once a year, another reason you're reaching out, is you're going, hey, I want to give you that. And by the way, it's the 1 year anniversary of every sale. Hey, it's the 1 year, I want to give you an updated value of your portfolio. And they're sitting there going, well, my mom didn't think I'd amount to much, but I have a portfolio. So now, you're saying, hey, I'm not sure if you're aware, but you've got about $68,000 in equity. Roundabout, I'd have to commit to see the exact. But you know, if you took about $32,000 of this, bought this multifamily over here, you could generate about $1,300 a month in net income. And they're like, what? They don't even know they can do it. Now, whether they do it or not, did you just create value?
Yes.
More than a door opener. You see the difference? And so every time we're reaching out, guys, we're not reaching out and saying, hey, if you know anybody looking to buy or sell, guys, those days are over. Like, they know what you're doing. They want value. Value, value. Every time you talk to them, there needs to be value. So what are those for you? You're going to send them a quarterly reference report. In the spring, it's going to show the best people that do spring cleaning. In the winter, it's going to be, here's the best snowplow. And in the, it's just value. Value, which also leverages your Core 100, which I won't go into right now, but go look at it, guys. Go to YouTube, Jared James Core 100, 100 different businesses or industries you need to be networked with. It's the number one way I built my business as an agent. Okay, but I'm not gonna do that today. You've got branded money. You're like, what? We have a, as part of the email I send out to you guys, I'll give you a link to a place that does branded money. It's like Monopoly money, but your face is on it. And you're gonna go create JJ Bucks. Not really, JJ is Jared James, but whatever your thing is, okay? And you're gonna have your face on there, it's gonna be fun. It's going to be memorable. And every year, they're going to get 50 or 100 JJ bucks that they can use towards your core 100. And now they're getting stuff that you've given them, and they're also leveraging people in your core, which now want to reciprocate and use you back. And now they're getting this with your funny face on there, and it's a monopoly. And now they're taking pictures of it, and they're posting it on social, and you're creating memorable experiences. Anybody doing that now?
No.
Did the mic go out? You see the difference? Like, this is in a competitive market, how you stand out. Do you know what the sad thing is, guys? If I came into your marketplace right now without a book of business, I would dominate you. Because we're all just doing it the same. And yet visibility always trumps ability. Whoever's the option is the one who wins. Well, that's not. Getting romantic about how you got here is the quickest way to underperform on your potential. Did you say that again? Getting romantic about how you got here is the quickest way to underperform on your potential. Well, that's not how we got here. That's not how my father did it when he was in business. Well, that's not how. Getting romantic about how you got here is the quickest way to underperform on your potential. It doesn't matter how you got here. You're going to show up in a NASCAR race with a horse and buggy. Who's the fastest horse and buggy around? Doesn't matter. Things have changed. You see what I'm saying? I don't tell that joke in Pennsylvania. That's a... You guys get what I'm saying right now? Like, there's so many things to be different. You come to something like, look, I want you guys to be motivated. I want you guys to feel good. I want you guys to the whole thing. But at the end of the day, what is the point of you being here if you're not leaving here with an assignment? Like, this is what I'm changing. This is what... Okay, this stupid little thing right here, do you know how many of our students this has drastically changed their business? Can you imagine? If you ever want to get depressed, and hopefully you all get to heaven, just ask God when you go in. Just be like, hey, how much business came through my funnel and never worked with me and worked with someone else? What did it add up to? Because how many of you know you've got business going right out the back door?
Yeah.
Because you're too busy to ever actually be productive. You catch that? You're too busy to ever actually be productive. Two different things, right? So let's talk about it. Next up, how much time do I have? You gotta have a plan for consistent marketing. Now again, I know we're the ultimate MLM. I know that we get into this business and it's all just friends and family. We don't believe in budgets and we don't believe in spending on marketing and we don't believe in any of that. But guys, if you wanna survive moving forward, how many of you want a predictable business? You want a predictable business, right? That doesn't happen without running it like a business and having a marketing budget. You're like, well, marketing's expensive. You know the only thing more expensive? Being invisible. That's expensive. The amount of people who come through your sphere, the amount of people that come through and never even know to use you because you don't believe in marketing, you don't believe in being visible, you don't believe in... That's expensive. You know how much that's costing you? Oh, that's costing you. Why do I do so much on social? Why am I doing things on TikTok now? A lot of you in here, oh, that's just little girls dancing to, okay, yeah, that was 2 years ago. Visibility is all that matters, guys. I put out a video recently I did with my kids. It just hit like 600,000 views, right? My kids told me I was too old to be on TikTok. Now I did that and I told them, hey, maybe I'll tag you in the next video. You guys can get some followers. It's like my ultimate flex. But guys, it doesn't matter what we used to, like, all, where are people? It's all that matters. Where are people? How are we showing up? You know, I'm not all over TikTok and Instagram and YouTube and all because I love to be out there. It goes completely against my personality. I'm an introvert by nature, okay? But I've got to be an option. I know some of you hear that too and you're like, an introvert? How could he be an introvert? And that's because we think introverts are all meek and, hey, everybody, you know, depressed. And extroverts are, hey, everybody. That's not how it works, guys. Introvert, extrovert is how you recharge. We've all got the ability to flip the switch, right? How do you recharge? I recharge alone. I gotta be alone. I leave this and I go to the airport, I'm pretty exhausted. Other people, extroverts, get up in front of you and they leave here and they're like, oh my God, top of the world. They recharge around you. I recharge alone. That tells you what you are. Any other introverts in the room, right? You deal with people all day long, but in order to recharge, I just gotta go be alone. So what is the predictable marketing? Because the only thing more expensive is to be invisible. So let's talk about some things we can do from a marketing standpoint, okay? Now, let's understand that there are certain verbiage that works in our business, right? In order to win in real estate, you gotta say the right thing at the right time to the right people. And you gotta say it enough times. That's how it works. You gotta say the right thing at the right time to the right people, and you gotta say it enough times, okay? And so there's verbiage that works right now. One of those verbiage that I'm gonna show you how to use in a bunch of different contexts right now is when you have you guys ever had a buyer or something who looked at a house and didn't buy it? You guys ever have that?
Yeah.
You guys ever make an offer and someone else got the, like it didn't get accepted?
Yeah.
Did you guys ever, guys? Every action deserves a reaction. Do you know statistically when a house comes up in an area, statistically within 30 days another listing's coming up within those couple of neighborhoods? Did you know that? Did you know within 6 months, 2 to 3 more are happening? So when you go and you show a buyer to an area and they don't buy, what is in that area about to happen? Another listing's about to come up. Now, do you want to hear about it after it hits the market? Or do you want a visibility trumps ability, get there first? And what do you have that they want? You got a buyer. Look, you got to have the cheese to catch the mice. You got the chum to get the shark. Like, you got to have the buyer to get the seller. A lot of you are getting upset about having buyers. I don't want any more buyers. It's the number one thing you need to get sellers. So now you take that buyer, and there's a couple things you can do. And all of these templates, whatever, I'm going to give to you guys, okay? So don't worry about trying to write down what I'm doing, okay? And so number one, you send out a buyer neighborhood letter when they didn't buy. And it goes out to the nearest 50, 100 houses, whatever that neighborhood area is. Through USPS.com, United States Postal Service, the beacon of efficiency that it is. They have a thing called EDDM, Every Door Direct Mail. If you hover over the business tab, there's a thing called EDDM. It will send out to mailing routes with no postage. So it's super cheap, okay? And now you pick that mailing route. And now you send something out to that neighborhood that goes, hey, so-and-so, I just showed your neighbor's property over at blank to my buyers. You get very specific, Johnny and Sandy. Unfortunately, it wasn't the perfect fit for them, but as I'm sure you're not surprised, they absolutely love the neighborhood. What they're looking for is, and you describe just about every home in that neighborhood, okay? And here's the verbiage. Hey, can you do me a favor? If you or anyone you know is even considering selling, can you please let me know right away? I may be able to sell their home without it ever hitting the market. And I'm leveraging those buyers. Now, I send that out to everybody. Now, I'm not looking for the 49 no's. What am I looking for? One yes. You go make an offer on a property. Doesn't get accepted. You get overbid. What do you have that neighborhood needs?
A buyer.
Buyer's offer not accepted letter goes out. Goes, hey, I just made an offer. My buyer so-and-so just made an offer on your neighbor's property over at blank. Unfortunately, due to the high demand and such, they were unable to get it approved. But as I'm sure you're not surprised, they absolutely love your neighborhood. What they're looking for is, can you do me a favor? If you're any good, if you're considering selling, please. Like, see how it happens? Over and over and over. Because winning in real estate is about saying the right thing at the right time over and over again to the right people. And here's the deal when you're doing that over and over again. Watch the first time you get a listing or you go, you're like, why have I not been doing this the whole time? And here's the thing, when you're using that verbiage, look, you should be saying that 30 to 50 times a day. Now, is that gonna get tiring? Sure. I had a friend recently, I was in town for a little bit, and he's like, hey, can we go grab a drink? I haven't seen you know, whatever. And he goes, hey man, does it ever get tiring doing 7 cities in 5 days? He goes, don't you just say the same thing? Does it ever get? And I said, well, I switch it up a little here and there. Sometimes there's different topics we're doing. But I said, you know how I look at it? When I get in front of an audience, I don't say to myself, this is the 1,000th time I've said this. I say it's the first time you've heard it. And that's all that matters. And that keeps me being genuine. Because I'm thinking about the first time person. See what I'm saying? So when you're saying the right thing over and over again, every single day, it's not about it's the 47th time that you've said it. It's about what? First time you've heard it. It's all that matters. What about video? Video is amazing to use right now. How many of you, when you have a listing, you will spend something on that listing? Whether you're promoting the open house, how many of you will do something like that, okay? How many of you have a budget you spend on your buyers? What happened?
Just gas.
Hey. True. Getting romantic about what got you here is the quickest way to underperform on your potential. You need to have a budget now for buyers. Why? Because every buyer is exactly what you need to get a seller. So every single buyer you have now gets this video. You ready? Every single one of them. And I don't care if you just hold up the phone. I don't care if you look at a more professional. I don't care if you have someone hold the phone. Every single buyer gets this video. You hold it up, you go, hey, everybody in so-and-so county or, you know, whatever it is, whatever the area is right there. Just wanted to let you know, I've got a buyer that's looking for a 3 to 4 bedroom, 1 to 2 bath, 1,500 to 2,000 square foot home in the so-and-so school district, but unfortunately been unable to find anything. Can you do me a favor? If you or anyone you know is even considering selling, can you please let me know right away? I may be able to sell their home without it ever hitting the market. Boom. It's very specific. What school district? Now I take that video. By the way, did I struggle when I said that?
No.
No. You know why? I'm a pro. I practice. If you're not practicing, you're not a pro. You're running around acting like an amateur and hoping to get paid like a pro. Pros practice. The reason you don't hear me struggling is because I know it. I'm a pro. That video, once you get it down, is so easy. And every single buyer should get it. Put a $20 budget behind it. Put it on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Those are the three places right now as far as a demographic of who needs to see it. Now look, you can no longer promote or have paid advertising and target towards specific zip codes because that's now discriminatory, okay? But you can still target towards cities, towns, those kinds of things. $20 budget, watch what happens. You're gonna get people that are commenting below. You're gonna get people who DM you, that's direct message, going, hey, my mom's actually thinking of, you know, who is this? What buyers do you have? And you're gonna start creating opportunities. And you know what the shame is? A lot of you just heard what I said, and you're like, but I don't know how to promote on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Okay, you wanna know how? It's very simple, you ready? Find a 13-year-old. Good to go. Not much being crass, guys, like they know. Not saying I don't know how, I didn't grow up with that. Guys, I didn't grow up driving. Figured it out. It's the world we live in right now. Visibility, visibility. You have to show up on this. You've got to show up where people are. It doesn't matter if you're on there. It doesn't matter. Guys, why am I in a boardroom? In Sandy, Utah, is that where I am?
Yes.
Okay, why am I here right now? Because you're here. That's why. Because you're my target market. You're here, I'm here. Your demographic, your people are on those three platforms. So say I don't know how to promote it. Look, go watch a YouTube video, it'll show you very quick. It's so simple. Find a teenager, do what you have to do. But don't not do it because you're making the excuse you don't know how. It's so freaking simple. And now your stuff starts showing up in front of people who have never heard of you before, and that's when your business grows. Your business will grow at the level of the number of people who yesterday had never heard of you, but today have to make a decision about you. You guys catch that? Your business is gonna grow at the exact level of the number of people you show up in front of who now have to make a decision about you, who yesterday had never heard of you. Do you know what gets me really excited when I'm in a room like this? How many of you before this thing started had never either heard of me or heard me speak before or anything else? Go ahead, raise your hands, not bad. I freaking love that. I make jokes about it, whatever, but you know what? I love that on such a level. You know why? Because now my business is growing. It's great when I get all of you guys and I get people, I've seen you 8 times, hey, I'm in your programs, hey, I said, love it, guys, absolutely love it. I really do, I mean that. But I get excited about that. Because that's all new. You guys that are just operating in the people who just know you, your business scope is so limited right now. I did a video recently on, I think I put it on Instagram or TikTok or YouTube or somewhere, and I said, your job in this business is to get people to know you, K-N-O-W, so they have the opportunity to know you, N-O. You guys catch that? Your job is to run your business in a way that new people get the opportunity to know you, K-N-O-W, so they have the chance to know you, N-O. Okay, see how that works? If you want to be the top agent in this room, make a commitment to being the most rejected agent in this room. That's how you win. That's literally how you win. Guy came up to me at an event recently and he said, he goes, Jerry, I just want to tell you, I've got a 97% closing ratio on my listing presentation. He goes, what do you think of that? It's like a humble brag, but it wasn't so humble. He goes, what do you think of that? And I said, do you really want me to tell you? And he goes, yeah. And I said, I think that sucks. And he goes, what do you mean that sucks? And I said, you are obviously only meeting with people you know very well, which means you have no potential for growth. Because there are people who are never going to work with you. There are people who, no matter what, they're going to say no, they're going to whatever, right? You don't grow a business by avoiding those people. You grow a business by understanding that that's the goal. Like, when you make it your goal to be rejected, how do you lose? How do you lose? You lose by winning. You get a yes. You're like, oh, crap. I'm supposed to get 20 no's today. Now I'm further away from it. Think about it, though. We get into real estate, and then we avoid rejection. It's crazy. Like, it's crazy. Sales, business, it's all rejection. Do you know how I got here? Like, can I just speak, because this isn't being recorded, so can I just speak very plainly with you guys? Okay? So I now run the third largest coaching and training company in North America. We will be number one. Just the other two have a 25-year jump on me. It's just a matter of time. Okay? It's happening. When I first started, right? I didn't have clients. I didn't have hundreds of thousands of social followers. We didn't have millions of views on YouTube. We didn't have any of that. You know what I did? I bet on myself, and I went and I looked up every real estate event in North America, and I started calling on every single one of them, and none of them knew who I was, none of them anything. It was a lot of no's. It was a lot of nope, 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 and occasionally someone would be like, oh, we're making a decision in March. Send us your speaker package. And what did I learn? That I had to have a speaker package. I didn't know what that was. They go, look it up. I'm like, all right. And I made a little, and then I got a lot of no, 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 no. And eventually I got to some maybes. And I started following up on a level. And I started sending to those maybes. And I kept following up. And I went places for free. And said, can I bring in a camera person so I can look more legit than I was, so I can get video of this and we can put it on whatever. And I was just, you know, everybody talks about hustle today. You know, hustle, hustle. I was legitimately hustling for nothing. Like I'll pay my own expenses. I'll do all of that. That all came from ultimate rejection. That's where it came from. Just every day, I was like, it doesn't matter. My goal is rejection today. I did not take it personal. Your ego can't be so big that someone says no to you and it crashes you. You're done. Goldfish forget things 6 seconds from now, right? You're worried about somebody who doesn't even know you and is going to forget about you in 3 seconds and doesn't even remember the conversation. Think about it. So that's what I did. Call after call after call after call after call after call. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. And some of those places call now, and they try to bring you in now, and now the budget's too high, they can't do it. God, do I love saying no. It's the best thing in the world. Because I'm like, you could have had me for free. We could have done this. You screwed up. You know? But you've got to have that time, though. You've got to have that moment where you're like, I don't care. Like, if you want to be the most successful person in your area, yeah, tools matter, technologies matter, your infrastructure matters, all of this stuff matters, yes. But you got to ultimately say, hey, rejection's the goal. That's it. Whether it's a video that I put out that's terrible and, you know, whatever, whether it's the calls you're making, whether it's following up with your past, whatever it is, guys, like, rejection's the goal. The amount of money we leave on the table because we're too fragile to get rejected is ridiculous. It's absurd. We didn't get into this business to, you know, everybody to love us, everybody to... It's not how it works. Okay? Rejection is the goal. Next thing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You guys intense right now, or are you falling asleep?
Intense.
We're good? Okay. All right. Third one. Talk about this everywhere I go now, and we'll go into something new here, but everything we've talked about so far, if we don't get this right here, none of it matters. Any of you ever felt like there's not enough hours in the day?
Yep.
Have you ever felt like that?
Yep.
You guys ever feel like you do things for everyone else?
Yep.
More than you do for yourself?
Yep.
Anybody ever feel like you fill everybody else's cup, but at the end of the day, anybody in here?
Yep.
Okay. Again, I know your personalities. This is how, look, it's a two-edged sword, right? It's what's great about you, because you service people but it's also what's killing you, right? So I had somebody send me a DM, a direct message, maybe a year ago or so. And they sent me this message. They said, Jared, how do you do it? They said, we see you're running 4 companies. You're going all over the world. You're at your boys' soccer games and lacrosse games. You're like, it's how? They're like, is it an act? Like, how do you keep your energy up? How's that happen? They said, is it crack? Just tell me it's crack. I'll try it. It's not crack. Once again, that's official statement, not grammar. But here's what it is, guys. We have this misnomer that we get more done by learning to juggle more balls in the air, right? The more you can do, just add more, right? Another thing, just add it. We'll just, let's do more. And that's not how it works. This is the way it works. I wrote back to this person. I think I actually shot them a video. And I said, what I do, I think, better than most people that I know, because I get tired too, is I've learned to build capacity. Now, what does that mean? In some levels, capacity does have to do with delegation. It does have to do with infrastructure. There's no doubt about it. But I'm talking about capacity within. I'm talking about, when you see me, for example, how many of you follow me, do the hashtag did you sweat today on the stories, right? Do them, just about every day. I do it every day. I don't always post it every day. But just about every day I do a did you sweat today, where I'm doing something to sweat. Some of you are like, well, why does he do that? It's not because I'm trying to look like a Baywatch model. It's for two reasons. It's really two reasons, okay? One is because I have two teenage boys and I need to still be able to dominate them. It's just true. And the second is, if you guys ever knew the amount of preventable disease that you are going to get because you're not exercising and releasing stress, it would boggle your mind. I saw something, I forget the exact stat, but it was something like 67% of all disease is preventable. But we build it up, we make it happen, we stress, and then all of a sudden we get the preventable disease. I had a dream years ago, I think I was about 28 or so, and I had a dream that in this dream, you ever had a dream that just feels so real? It's just like, you ever had that? Where like you have that dream and it just feels, you guys have that?
Yes.
It's like you wake up and you're not sure yet. Was I falling? You wake up and you're like, was there a snake? You wake up and you legitimately wet yourself. Like it's real. Don't laugh too hard. So, give yourself away. So I had this dream, and in this dream, I got this disease that was preventable. And it was real. Like I thought it was real. Like I thought that was it, I'm done. It was a deathly disease, right? And in this dream, I would have done anything to make that go away. I would have given anything, And I woke up from really the nightmare, I call it, dream. And I realized, oh crap, that was a dream. And I made a decision that day that I was going to live the rest of my life like I would before the preventable disease. That was the decision I made. So when you see me on a regular basis, when I'm talking about build capacity, and you see me doing the hashtag did you sweat todays, when you see me trying to eat right 5-6 times a week and not filling my body with poison every single day just because I'm busy, when you see me exercising, you go, well, I'd love to, I just don't have time. Well, you're going to really not have time. Just so you know, that whole message, I'm not talking about everybody looking like they look. There are overweight people in here in better shape than thin people. Do you guys understand that? I'm talking about the release. I'm talking about the stress relief that occurs. I'm talking about actually sleeping. We go into hustle mode. I'll sleep when I'm dead. Do you know how important sleep is to the body? They did a study unintentionally. You know what the whole daylight savings times and that stuff? So it was 1.6 billion people, because 70 countries all at the same time do daylight savings. And do you know that when daylight savings went forward an hour and everybody lost an hour of sleep, heart attacks went up 24.6%. Did you know that? Did you know that when they bring it back and people get more sleep, heart attacks went down by over 21%. Sleep. That's 1.6 billion people. That's not a small sample size. How many of you know you're not sleeping enough right now? Right? Look, there are times, I get it. There are hustle times, there are whatever. But you are not operating at your greatest point when you are not sleeping on a regular basis. Oh, I can operate on 4 to 5 hours. Okay. You're the one person in the world whose body doesn't operate like everybody else's. You might be getting through, you might be getting by, but all of this stuff we talk about over here, everything we're doing, everything we're saying, everything whatever, it all means nothing if you're not learning to build capacity. I'm able to give on the level I do in front of every audience I get in front of because every single day I make a conscious effort in the morning, throughout the day, building capacity. There's an old, it's so corny, but it's just true. They talk about a bow and arrow and how far an arrow goes when you release that arrow from the bow. It has very little to do with what happens when it hits the air. Everything to do with the capacity you create before you ever let go. And that is the story of who? It's the story of us. So what has to happen? We got to start exercising. You've got to start eating right. I'm not talking about these crazy diets that nobody's ever going to keep up with, guys. Come on. Have you seen these things? Guys, diet doesn't work. It's lifestyle. Like, at the end of the day, it's like, what works? 10 years ago, diet and exercise. What works 50 years ago? What works 500 years ago? Diet. What works? And we want to go see a belt that straps around our waist and two for $19.99 if we act right now. Guys, diet and exercise. Eat properly. Sleep. These are the things that actually matter. These are the things that actually allow you to truly take care of your people, to truly take care of your kids, to truly be able to follow various patterns. And these are the things that ultimately do that. They're boring. They're not sexy. But they're the things that will actually allow you to have energy on a regular basis and really work at your fullest potential and actually have the capacity to be giving back on the level that you really want to, unlike a lot of us right now where we're running on a car that should have had the oil changed 60,000 miles ago, just waiting for it to break down. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to cover a couple more things here really quick. Before I do that, how many of you want that free stuff I was talking about?
Yes.
You guys want that free stuff? Here's what you do. There's an email at the bottom right of this PowerPoint right here. yes@jaredjamestoday.com. Yes, Y-E-S, at jaredjamestoday.com. If you send an email to that, it doesn't matter what subject, like literally on your phone right now, just send an email to yes@jaredjamestoday.com. You're going to get an email back that it's going to have, I'm not even sure what it comes back with, but some kind of resources or whatever. That's not the one, okay? You're going to get an email within about 24 hours that says, Remax Agents, here's the free training Jared offered, here's the templates, here's the scripts, here's the PowerPoint, here's the videos. That will be sent out. It's very specific. Even if you're not a Remax agent, just because you're at this event, it's going to say, Remax Agents, here's, that'll go within 24 hours. The immediate one that goes out, I'm not sure what it says, but you do not have to flood my team with emails going, this isn't the one. I'm not sure what it says, but it's not the one, okay? Does that make sense to everybody? Yes at jaredjamestoday.com. Let me cover a couple more things with you guys here. For those who are going to be on the panel, be ready in the next 10 minutes or so. You know, I thought about, whenever I'm in front of any audience, I'm like, what do I want to get across to them? Like, what do I want them to remember? Like, what do I want them to... And there's a couple things that have just really been big with me lately that I've just been saying everywhere I go. And one of them is this. How many of you learned something that you're going to implement as a result of being here? Okay, so here's something I want you to remember. Consistency is undefeated. Okay? Consistency is undefeated. Consistency is like mother, like father time. Consistency is undefeated. It never loses. Now, a lot of you hear me say that, and you're like, he's right. I need to be more consistent. My answer to you would be, baby, you are consistent. Consistent the other way. Consistency wins regardless. Like, you're going to get whatever it is that you're consistent with, period. So you can either do good things, or, right? It's like, no, you're very consistent. You consistently wake up late. You consistently avoid calls. You consistently don't make those content videos. Consistency, it wins every time. It's undefeated. But at the same time, consistency goes the other way too. And that means that we can't marry ourselves to one particular action. You know, we have a saying with our students. We say, hey, if you focus on results, you'll get frustration. If you focus on process, you'll get results. If you focus on results, you'll get frustration. But if you focus on process, you'll get results. Why? Because you can't control every result. Have you ever done something that's supposed to work? You feel like it's going to get you that appointment. It feels like it's going to get you that offer. It feels like it's going to get you that listing. And then it doesn't work. And you feel defeated. You guys ever had that?
Yes.
Okay? We don't always control the outcome. We don't always control the result. If we did that, it would just be constantly feeling defeated. Why didn't that work? Why didn't that? Because if you focus on a result, you'll get frustration. But if you focus on process, right? You guys ever been on a diet? Right? You do well for a couple days, you lose some weight, you're like, I'm doing awesome. You do exactly the same thing for a couple days, you're like, eh, not as much, but it's good. You do well a couple more days, and you're like, what? I gained? You're like, what the heck is this? Because there's all these other things at work. There's water weight and all this other stuff that goes on. But you've got to stay consistent with what? The process. When you're talking to a certain number of people a day, it's not always going to generate the number of appointments you want. It's not always going to generate, but over the course of time, Consistency is undefeated. On that same note, I want to say to you guys that while consistency is undefeated, motivation is overrated. Motivation is an excuse, guys. Like, what? I thought I came here to get motivated. That's awesome. And by the way, when I feel motivated, I take advantage of it. When I'm in the gym and I feel motivated, I do more. When I'm making calls and I feel motivated, I make more calls. When I, like, take advantage of that. But do you always feel motivated?
No.
It's an excuse. Did all of you feel motivated to get in the shower today?
Yeah.
Did you all wake up and go, top of the morning, I get to jump in that shower and do it all over again? Or did some of you go, didn't I just do this 18 hours ago? Like, I gotta do it all again? Just so it goes away and I can start over again? Am I the only one that thinks like that? I'm like, I gotta do this again? And I'm in hotels, I'm like, this water pressure's probably gonna suck. These washcloths might as well just be sandpaper. I'm not motivated to do it. But for the sake of you and everyone around me, guess what I do? You're welcome. Guys, motivation is an excuse. It's overrated. You know what I do as an adult? I figure out what I want. I figure out what it's going to take to get there. I commit to it, and then I just do it. There's the key. You leave a meeting like this, and you're like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take some of those practices of listening and what I'm going to do, and I'm going to learn that verbiage, and I'm going to whatever, right? You're going to feel really good about it right now. By about day 7, you're not going to feel it anymore. And that is going to be the difference between those of you in this room that actually get a result and those of you that tell everybody how great it was, but nothing ever comes from it. Don't buy into this motivation nonsense, guys. When you feel motivation, awesome. Do it. Go for it. Listen to people that make you motivated. Listen to them. Take advantage of it. But don't require motivation to do what it is that you committed to as an adult. Because people rely on you. They rely on you to do well in your career. They rely on you to stay healthy. They rely on you to change the atmosphere of that room. They rely on you to do it. And feelings are liars. If I did what I felt like doing every day, I'd be 900 pounds and 8 million in debt. I would lay on the couch all day watching all of the shows you tell me I'm missing out on, and then I'd take a break only to shop on Amazon. That's what I would do all the time. But feelings are liars. And this is the last thing I'll say to you guys. You guys got that? Consistency is what? Consistency is undefeated. And motivation is what?
Overrated.
And the last thing I'll say to you, and I've said this everywhere I've gone the last year, is that if you want to have an actual result as a result of being here today, you are in right now what I call the learn stage. And the learn stage is awesome. Isn't it great when you're learning? Doesn't it feel good to know that you got some tools and you're like, I'm going to do something different. This is awesome. When you stay in the learn stage, it's what I call getting fat on sugar. Feels good. But if you stay in that stage, nothing happens. Every entrepreneur knows that if you want to do anything with the result of what you learn, you have to leave the learn stage and you have to go into the screw-up stage. The screw-up stage is where it really happens. That's the non-Instagram-worthy stuff. That's the 99% of my world that doesn't go on social, where everything actually happens. You know, I've told this story for years, but it's just true. Like, I've been telling everybody, like, hey, you gotta get a video, you gotta do, you know, whatever. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that my first ever YouTube video is not even listed on YouTube. You know why? Because it's so bad. It's so embarrassing that I do not even have the guts to put it out there for everyone to see, because it's so embarrassing. Every year, we do an annual thing called the Jared James Advance. It'll be in Nashville this year in October. Hopefully, some of you will be there. But every year, I say I'm going to play that video, and every year, I realize just how little confidence I have, and I don't play it. Sitting in this little office, got a suit and tie on. You can see my white t-shirt underneath the tie, because that's a great look. I was just a boy with a dream. And I set up this camera, and that's important to the story, because I'm the one that set up the camera. I'm the only one in the room. And then the video starts, and I turn around like Mr. Rogers, like I didn't know it was there. And I'm like, well, hello there. And I look at the camera. It's so bad. You know, like, I don't even know what this was, and I felt like I had to, I don't know. I don't know what that was. But all of a sudden, felt the need to talk to a recording, and I just, hello there! And I look in, and I start telling this massive audience, I was brand new, I start telling this massive audience, you better, this is my first ever training, and I'm like, you better hurry up and sign up, because there's only 1,000 spots. Some of you should be laughing at that, guys. 1,000 spots? Okay, I had no following, I had no, 1,000 spots was, there was probably room. If you showed up late, we might have been able to get you a spot, okay? It's got 117 views now, like 12 years later or whatever, whatever the years is. 100 are probably me. So I go, hey, there's only 1,000 spots, and then I do the training. And there's 3 people on the training. My best friend, my mother, and someone clearly lost. Like, that's who's on the training, okay? And I went at it like as if there were 1,000 people on there, and I don't even know what I was saying. It was awful. I have no idea. Like, I, whatever, right? But why do I say that to you? Because that was the screw-up stage that I had to go through. You know, don't watch people like me watch our videos now and go, oh, wow, they just get it. They're just, you know, look at that. 8 million views on YouTube. They just, wow. You're not seeing someone else's screw-up. But, more importantly, you have to be willing to allow other people to see yours. Because when you go and you finally say, you know what, I'm over this. I'm going to actually connect with people. I'm going to start shooting videos. I'm going to start talking about the market. I'm going to start doing videos for, like, to help people. What's the difference between a pre-qual and a pre-approval? I'm going to start building my content library. I'm going to do that. You know what's going to happen? You're not going to be awesome at first. And there's going to be a lot of people around you that are watching. They're going to be going, can you believe she did that video? Can you believe she sounded like that? Oh, can you? And while they're can you believing, guess what you're doing? Because they're just staying where they're at. They're over there just judging, putting you down for doing something different, probably reporting you to the board and saying that you're doing something wrong, because God knows any innovation in our industry must be some kind of an issue, must be some kind of a code of ethics thing. Guys, I know this industry. So while they're doing that, guess what you're doing? Yeah, you might suck a little then, you might. Little by little by little by little, what happens? They stay where they're at. What did I say to you before? When you see something in your business that you know you should do and it scares you, you need to remind yourself that that's how everyone else feels too. Right? That's when winners, something speaks up and goes, hey, this is when I get ahead. This is when I win. Because the feeling I'm having is the same feeling that everybody else is having. And that thing that shut them down, and that little excuse they made to make sure where they were like, well, I can't do it because, well, this isn't going to work. Well, you know what we love to say in this industry? We love to, whenever something new comes along, we go, well, everyone's already doing that in my area, or, well, no one's doing that in my area. So guys, where's the win? It's just excuses. It's just excuses. That's it. And the sad part is excuse after excuse after excuse, guess who loses? You. Business is a conveyor belt, guys. Staying still means you're falling behind. It's not like you just stay still and you're at where you're at, and it just, okay, here I am, I'm always here. The conveyor belt is always moving backwards. Because if you don't buy into innovation and you don't change constantly, what did I say before? The quickest way to underperform in your potential, what?
Get romantic
about how you got here. Business is a conveyor belt. And I'm not saying this to you guys as some speaker who watched a video or read a good book. I run 4 multi-million dollar companies. I live in this every freaking day. I hire and fire people every single day. We try new things every single day. And I know better than anybody that business is a conveyor belt. And just standing still means you're what? You're going backwards, right? So what you've got to do as a result of being here is you've got to look at it and you've got to say, hey, consistency is undefeated. I'm gonna leave the learn stage. I'm gonna go screw up. I gotta commit to that. I got no problem with being rejected. I got no problem with trying something new. I don't wanna underperform on my potential. I wanna ultimately get what it is, because when I don't, people who rely on me, I'm letting them down. Right? You have an opportunity in this business to create wealth. One of the great shames of this industry is that people live in the gold mine and then they work paycheck to paycheck. Think about that. You work in the gold mine. Where does wealth come from? What's the number one reason people are wealthy in this country?
Real estate.
What's the number one reason for their retirement? What's the number one reason? Real estate, real estate, real estate. And then we get in and all we're doing is looking at commission checks. We're working for tips. We're highly paid Las Vegas strippers. Not me. But you guys get what I'm saying? You gotta do something to get paid, right? And yet there's so many other areas to our business. And we're the key to everything. We're the source. We're the one that knows about properties first. We have so much more value than we recognize. And then what did I say before? We get too busy to actually be productive. We sit down and we just start getting crazy and getting busy and start feeding off to everyone else. Never think about the fact that, oh shoot, I got opportunity here. I told you guys before, I'm a poor kid from a broken home. There were no advantages for me. There were no nothing. The difference was I never stayed in the screw-up stage. I never stayed there. I was willing to try things. I was willing to look stupid making my first video. I was willing to say, hey, for me to have a different result, I have to do something different. I can't sit here and go, I want to have better results than all of you, but then do exactly what you do. You see what I'm saying? I got to be different. I got to have people challenging me. I've got to innovate because business is a what? It's a conveyor belt. We're going to call up in a second here. I think someone's going to come up. But when I'm done, I'm about to do this agent panel, guys. And then I swear to God, I'm not a mean guy or whatever, but I've got to rush out of here when I'm done because I have one flight that gets me home at a certain time. So when I'm all done with that, I got to rush out of here. But if you guys get a chance, once we're all done, go to connectwithjared.com. It's up on the thing on there. You guys can connect on all the social places, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube, wherever you are. I'll spend my time on the plane later, literally just answering questions. If you guys have questions or anything, I'll always do that. I'll always answer your guys' questions. So I hope we get a chance to connect. Guys, thanks for having me today. Honestly, thanks a lot.